How do I make it through today? How do I make it through today? I promise you, folks, it may not be today that you ask that question. Many of you can look in the rearview mirror of your life and say, preacher, there have been days that I woke up and literally the first thought I had was, how do I make it through today? And you say, I don't have that. Well, I promise you, if the Lord lingers in life, I promise you, more days than probably any of us want to think about in your future, there's going to be some days that you wake up and your question literally will be, Lord, how do I make it through today? I want to take your Bibles. Let's let the Word of God answer that question and help us and encourage us this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 33, Deuteronomy chapter number 33. You got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Chapter number 33, there's 34 chapters in Deuteronomy, so we're talking about way at the end of this book. And then the 33rd chapter, and I'm going to begin in verse number 24, and we're going to read the blessing that Moses imparts upon Asher, the tribe of Asher. Deuteronomy chapter number 33 and verse number 24. And let's all stand, please, for the reading of the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 33. And verse 24, and of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Oh, by the way, these are good blessings. Let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. Let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Look at that. And as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you'd help us. Dear Lord, there's never a time, I mean literally never a time in the life of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, there's just never that I have any memory of a time where everybody is doing okay and not anyone is under some type of a satanic attack or trial or tribulation of some kind. And Lord, it's not that any of us live under that constantly, but the devil's busy and active, especially in the lives of families in a church like Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And dear Lord, we need your help. Some of the people in here need this for today. Others, Lord, it may be a day or two and the phone will ring or something will happen. For others, 2016, Lord, it may not be that difficult. And Lord, we may go several months and may this is the greatest year, and then all of a sudden we just don't know, Lord. But I want to thank you, dear God, that you, the Bible says you inhabit eternity. Lord, you're not a time traveler, you're a time inhabitor. And Lord, you're here today, but you're also already in tomorrow, and you're in yesterday. And Lord, there's no surprises. And so, Lord, although we do not know what's ahead, you do. And Lord, I pray that we'd grab a hold of this truth and we'd, Lord, just put it somewhere. Dear God, help us to file it away in our mind and in our hearts, our soul. And Lord, when we have one of these days, I pray, Lord, we'll know what to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'll draw your attention to the very first verse of this chapter, verse number 1. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. The first verse of Deuteronomy chapter 33 introduces well its content. This chapter contains blessings. The bestower of the blessings is a man by the name of Moses. By the way, this verse gives a brief one-phrase bio of his life. He's called Moses, the man of God. If time permitted, we could spend a month of Sundays verifying this description by studying the life of Moses. Moses was God's man. He was a child spared by God in a miraculous way. A young man who had to make a choice and turned his back on Egypt and chose the God of his fathers. He was a man who made mistakes and committed sins in his life, including murder at one point. But he was also a man who stood in front of a burning bush, and you know, just as he one day chose God, God turned around and chose him and made him the deliverer of the people of Israel. I mean, Moses was a miracle, and Moses was a murderer, and Moses was meek, and Moses was for a while a master, but Moses throughout his life was a man of God. One preacher said Moses spent the first 40 years of his life thinking he was somebody, the next 40 years of his life learning that he was a nobody, and the last 40 years of his life finding out what God could do with a nobody. That's a pretty good outline right there. And I think that may be the process that most of us have to go through in life. The recipients of the blessings of Moses is the 12 tribes of Israel. Each is named and each is blessed. I won't go down through all of them, but I'll tell you who they are and a summary of the blessing they received. Reuben was blessed with life and with manliness. Boy, we need that again. Judah was blessed with the Lord's ear, with sufficient hands, and with the Lord's special protection. Well, that's a good blessing. Levi was blessed with holy responsibilities, the holy responsibilities of teaching the law and overseeing the sacrifices given to the Lord. Benjamin was blessed with military strength and a divine covering. Joseph was blessed with all of the bounty, all of the fullness of the earth. He was blessed through his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Zebulun was blessed with the spirit of praise and rejoicing in all their endeavors. And I like that. You know, I think some people are just uniquely blessed with a spirit of praise. And they're always good, fun people to be around. It just seems like they always see, no matter what the circumstances are, a reason to go ahead and praise the Lord. And Issachar was blessed with prosperity, gained from the treasures hid in the sand. Think about that. That sound familiar when you think about the Middle East there? God blessed Gad was blessed with judgment and responsibility, a crowned head and wise judgments. Dan was blessed with the heart of a lion. And Naphtali was blessed with favor and fullness. And then the last of the tribes that's listed is the tribe of Asher. And Asher and the blessings upon Asher, we read in verse number 24 and verse number 25. Let's go back and look at them. He says in verse 24, he said, "Let Asher be blessed with children." Oh, I've got to stop there and say it, folks. Listen to me. Let's not forget this. Children are a blessing. They're a blessing. You know what? When a family is given a child, that family is blessed. And you know what? When a church is given children, we are a blessed church. I tell our folks, if you're standing in the wrong place in the foyer at any given time, at the wrong moment in the schedule of a Sunday morning, you can be trampled to death by children. But you know what? Thank God for it. I've walked into churches while I've been on vacation from time to time, and I've walked into churches and looked around, and all I've saw is elderly people. And you know what? They're important. But if all you have is elderly people, you are in a dying church. That church has no future. You know what I'm excited about when I look around at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? I think God has a future for us. A future for us. And so children are a blessing. And so Asher was blessed with children. He was blessed with the ability to be acceptable to his brethren. And so his brethren looked up to him and accepted him and admired him. I like this little phrase here that says, "And let him dip his foot in oil." And you know, folks, oil is, of course, in the Bible, always a picture of the Holy Spirit of God, an anointing. And you think about this, you think of all the things we read and see where people are anointed on their head with oil, and that's good. But this, he dipped his foot in oil, which means that, you know what, watch this. That means he had anointed steps. That means that, you know what, he let the Lord guide him in everywhere he went. And as God led him, he anointed his path. He anointed his journey. Boy, that's a blessing, isn't it? "Thy shoes shall be iron and brass." God gave him strength and authority in battle. And by the way, God's blessed America in that area for a number of years, but we're going to lose that blessing as we turn our back from away from Almighty God. But the last blessing is what makes the others work. Okay, yes, he was blessed with children, acceptable to the brethren, anointed steps, authority in battle. But the last blessing is what makes the others work. It is the wish of Moses upon Asher. It is every man of God's wish for his people. I understand this. Moses, the man of God, wanted to bless Asher with what? Here's what he wanted to bless him with. Let's look back at it. "So as thy days, so shall thy strength be." As thy days, so shall. What does that mean, preacher? As your pastor, I pray that for you. May all of you be blessed with, watch this, this is what he was saying. May all of you be blessed with day by day strength. May God, this is what he was saying. May God match with each day the strength that you need for that day. As your days, so shall your strength be. In Psalms 90, verse 10, we read, the days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we will fly away. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away, amen. Preacher, is this a promise of strength for me? Can I kind of borrow this from Asher? Would God give that to me? Well, you know what? Let me ask you a question. Are you born again? Because, you know, everybody that received blessing in this chapter, the first thing we got to recognize is this. They were children of God. You know, without Jesus as your Savior, if you're in a lost condition, you are living under a curse. It's impossible for God to bless you the way he really wants to bless you. The most important thing for you to do today is to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But can I say this? If you're a child of God, I don't think you're out of bounds to go to any of these blessings and say, Lord, could I have a little of that? Lord, could I have a little of that? Preacher, how in the world can I make it? I mean, no matter what you're facing today, I want to let you know this. There is available to you enough strength to make it through each and every day of your life. Each and every day of your life. Preacher, I need to hear about this. Give me something. All right, watch this. Let's look at some things to consider this morning as we look at this promise. Let's first of all recognize the provider of the strength. How can I know that I have enough strength for every day? Because of the provider of the strength. If it was me that had to provide it for you, I wouldn't always have enough. If you're relying on your husband or your wife or any other human being, they may have good intentions, but they also have human limitations. But folks, what's exciting is this. God is the one that provides his children the strength that we need day by day. And so the provider of the strength is God. The promise of the strength, let me give you this one, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29. He giveth power to the faint. Who is he? God. That's who we're talking about. God giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Did you get that, preacher? I don't have anything left. Amen. Then you're a good candidate for this, all right? Preacher, I'm on empty. I'm on empty, empty, empty. All right? You have no strength. Oh, well, guess what? God has plenty of it. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Listen, what I'm saying is this. If you'll go see God, I promise you, he will impart to you enough strength to make it through today. To make it through today. The provider of the strength, the promise of the strength, but let's look at the provision of the strength. Listen, folks, you know how he imparts this strength? Day by day. Day by day. When I go shopping with my wife, which I do from time to time, Thursday mornings I take her out to eat. All right? When we don't have life interrupt us. I take her out to eat. Breakfast, date, Thursday morning. After that, by the way, we go to Terre Haute. I will tell you this. I believe Cracker Barrel has better pancakes than International House of Pancakes. We turned our back on International House of Pancakes the minute they stopped serving us hot syrup. Now, why in the world would you want hot pancakes with cold syrup? That makes absolutely no sense at all. I mean, Cracker Barrel, I know they only bring you those little bottles, but folks, I just tell them, bring me 40 of them. You know, I use about 40 of them. And when they bring them, if you pick them up, they are so hot that literally I had to take a napkin to get the lid off them, but man, that's what makes it. So we go do breakfast, okay? She's eating her little parfait, the healthy yogurt. I'm serious, it's sad. and some kind of a low-fat muffin, and I've got like 75 pancakes in front of me, but we go eat. And then after that, I do what I always do. Where do you need to go? And I'll take that woman anywhere she wants to go shopping. And you know what? We go to Walmart sometimes. I try not to, but we go to Walmart sometimes. I got to pick up a few groceries. Now, the best thing for me to do is just go to the sporting goods section, okay? Because when I go with shopping with her, everything she gets, I got a different viewpoint about it, okay? I told this to you one time, but I mean years and years and years ago, my wife got sick. I mean, just really sick. I mean, got one of those, you know, viruses or whatever that just, I mean, knocked her out. She's back 10 days. And I mean, I've never seen her so sick in all my life. And we were out of food. And I said, well, I'll go get the groceries, you know. And so she gave me a list of stuff. And so I took this cart and I went in there. First of all, the biggest problem was finding the stuff. I mean, I don't understand why they set up a grocery store the way they set it up. It's crazy to me. So I'm going down the list, and I would find one thing, and then I think I went back and forth to the front and back of the store like, this is how guys shop. We don't know where anything is at. The ladies, they know where. They just do, they're done, you know, 15 minutes. I was in there for 2 hours, just trying to find 2 hours. And then everything on the list, you'd say, you know, one can of this. I'm like, one? We're just going to have to come back. So I just like five, you know. I mean, you know. And, you know, everything on the list. And then I'm finding a lot of cool stuff that she probably meant to put on the list, but she forgot. I mean, as I'm wandering around looking for stuff, like, whoa, yeah. Wow, I'm pushing a cart. I'm pulling a cart, you know. I go to check out, man. I had to call the bank and have another mortgage put on my house. In order to pay for the, I mean, I, you know, my mentality is don't just get what you need for today. Why don't we just, but you know what? Sorry, folks. You know what? That's not how the Lord works. The preacher, I know I'm the same way. You know what I want to do? I want to go to God, and I want to look, like beginning of the month of March, I looked at my calendar. I just started laughing. I mean, you can't believe what was on my calendar in March. And I look at my wife, I'm just like, who's the idiot that schedules all this? And she just looks at me like that, you know. And I'm looking at this. And you know what I want to do? I want to say, God, I'm real busy this month, so it's the 1st of March. So what I need, could I just go ahead and get 30 days worth of strength? Could I just kind of get, you know, like put it on my card, load my card up, you know. And you know what God says? No, but I'll give you enough for today. By the way, folks, you don't know how much strength you'll need in the next 30 days. And neither do I. You don't know how much strength you're going to need tomorrow. And neither do I. You know what? And so, you know what God says? He says, I'll tell you what, I'll give you. You, by the way, young people, what a good habit of life to get into. Say, preacher, why in the world is it that you wake up every morning of your life and you take the time to find your King James Holy Bible? And you read the words of God and you bow your heart and your head and you say, God, I don't, listen, folks. A lot of times I'll pray this. I don't even know, Lord, what I'm going to face today, but you do. And God, you know my human limitations. And God, you know my weaknesses. And dear God, I've got to have. Listen, folks, I shared this with you the other day, but I'm telling you, if there's a prayer that I pray more than any other prayer, it's this. Lord, give me strength. Lord, give me. Lord, I need you right now. Lord, give me strength. Lord, give me wisdom for this. Because you know what? It's not just a prayer you can pray. You don't even know how much you're going to need. And you know what God says? He said, I'll fill your tank up for today. I'm going to give you, listen, whatever I'm going to ask you to face, I promise that as your days are, so shall your strength be. I'm going to match the amount of strength you need with what you're going to face each and every day. And you know what the answer to the question is? How do I make it through the day? You're going to make it by the grace of God, and you're going to make it because of the strength that God's going to give you for today. That's how God works. That's how he works. Psalms 90 verse 11, we read that the days of our years are 70. I did the math on that, and I didn't include leap years, so it's probably a little off, but that means in a lifetime, if God gives you 70 years, that's 25,550 days. And you know what? God knows what is going to happen in your life on every one of those days. So you check in every morning and you say, God, give me the strength. Now, by the way, there's different kinds of strength. Can we say that? There's some times that you go to God and you know what you say? You know what? You say, God, give me the strength I need. And he looks at the day ahead and he says, you know what he needs? He needs physical strength. Come on, have you ever just got down to the point in time in your life when, you know what? Physically, you wake up and you say, God, I don't know how I'm going to get through today. You know, maybe, this folks, come on, the older you get, this, you know, anybody 50 and older is going to understand this, but your sleep habits change. And, you know, I think one of the reasons that David in the latter years of his life said that he spent time with God in the night watches, come on, we all understand that now. You know what that means? That means God just troubles your sleep. Sometimes physically, I'll sometimes go into a dead sleep for like 2 or 3 hours and wake up and I mean, I can't go back to sleep. And you know what? What do? You walk the night watches. That's what you do. Spend time praying in the night watches. And sometimes, maybe for several days, I haven't slept real well. Sometimes that sleep is just robbed for no reason. I mean, there's no explanation. You wake up and you say, God, why are you waking me up? And I always say this, if God wakes me up in the middle of the night, and I lay there for a few minutes, and I'm not getting back to sleep. You know what? I'm going to get up and find out what he wants. Maybe he just wants me to pray. Maybe he just wants to teach me something from the Bible. Maybe he just wants me to spend some time meditating on the word. Maybe he wants me to intercede for somebody else that's going through a tough time. But you know what? If I'm not sleeping, I'm not just going to lay there. I'm going to get up, and I'm going to spend some time with the Lord. Now listen to me, folks. Sometimes our sleep is robbed because of problems and worries and burdens. And come on, we've all been there. I mean, mamas and daddies, you know what? You're going to have some sleepless nights. Grandmas and grandpas, we're going to have some sleepless nights. I mean, you know, when something touches our family, it touches us. As a pastor and those of you that work in ministry, bus captains, you know what? There's not a bus captain in here that loves his bus kids that hasn't spent some sleepless nights worried about this teenager or this family, and they see a satanic attack in this person's life and they spend the night watches up interceding on the behalf of somebody. Sometimes it's physical. But God looks down and he says, you know what? If you need physical strength, watch this, folks. If you need physical strength, I can give it to you. Listen, folks, I have gone through an entire day where I woke up and I was physically weak to do what I needed to do that day. But guess what? I did what I needed to do that day. Not because Jerry Ross had it, but because I go to a God and say, listen, I told you the story when we were out elk hunting last fall. Me and Brother Castle went out. Brother Dirksen, you're going to get to meet him. And what a blessing. I can't wait for you to meet him. You're going to enjoy him so much. But when we shot that elk, I shot that elk Monday evening, the first hunt. Tuesday morning, we recovered that. I had hiked 8 miles through the mountain on Monday. I shot that bull elk right before dark. We didn't find it till the next morning. And then we went through the process of deboning the meat and packaging it up. And we loaded all of that, the meat on backpacks and the head of that elk and the antlers of that elk. And I wanted to keep the hides from put the hide. And every one of us was there, put this huge burden of a backpack and all that weight. And you know, I told you, Brother Dirksen, I mean, what do you see? You're going to say, you know, he doesn't look like this gigantic, strong, muscular, but I'm going to tell you, that guy is tough. 70 years old, he put, I know, 90 pounds in a backpack, put it on his back, and walked about a mile and a half down that mountain. I probably had about 75 pounds, I'm thinking, on my back. I didn't have as much as him, and I started down that mountain carrying that. And by the way, listen, here's another lesson of life, young people. You know what? You say, but you were going down the mountain. Yes, I was. But I'm going to tell you, going down is harder, especially when you're carrying a burden, than going up. Hey, let's just stop and think about that a minute. Oh, preacher, I'm burdened. So what? You're going to go down? Well, it's too hard, too heavy to go up. You go ahead and turn around and climb up. You know, if you've got a burden and you're climbing up a mountain, you've got a burden on your back, you naturally and normally lean into the mountain. And even if you do fall, the mountain's right there to catch you. You try walking down a steep mountain with a big burden pushing you forward. If you fall, there's nothing to catch you till you're all the way down. And listen, nobody ever climbed up a mountain and fell down and rolled up the mountain. But a lot of people have fallen going down with a burden. And you know what? Getting sick, that's where you get hurt. So I've got all this weight, and I'm going down this mountain, and I get probably the first 50, 75 yards. And you know, I feel like I'm in decent shape. I'd worked to try to get in decent shape, but I had walked 8 miles the day before. I had this heavy pack. I was sore from that thin mountain air, and I go about 50, 75 yards, and I'm thinking to myself, I am not going to make it down this hill. I am not going to make it to camp with what I have to carry. And I remember stopping and thinking, good night, what am I going to do? I honestly don't think I can make it. And you know, I kept thinking of how am I going to do this? And then I had this crazy thought, maybe I ought to pray. Hey, you know what I think God sent me to here to tell you is this? Here's a crazy thought. Maybe you just ought to pray. Well, preacher, I can't. Now stop right there. Preacher, I can't make it through today. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Young man, I don't want you leaving during the church service, okay? Come back up here. I don't want you leaving during the church service. Bad habit to get into. Hey, young man, look at me. You pick all that trash up you just tore up and put all over the floor. Now, this is a church house. You don't treat a church house like it's a trash can. You pick all that up. Get that up from underneath your foot and pick it up. There you go. And make sure that gets into a trash can afterwards, okay? All right. These are good boys up here. They just are boys. They need a little guidance from time to time. These are good boys up here. I appreciate them that they're in church. But you know what? I literally sat there and said, Lord, I got over a mile left to go. I don't know if I can get this thing off the mountain. I wanted to wimp out, but Dirksen's 70 years old and carrying 90 pounds. A little hard for me to wimp out. I mean, I literally wanted to, you know, unpack something. And I said, Lord, I'm going to need your help. Now, Brother Castle told me something on the way out there. He was talking to me about his Air Force days. And he said, you know what, we had this little a little saying that we had in the Air Force. And he said, you know what, we always said, when you don't think you can take one more step or run one more step, you can run 20 more. So I said, Air Force. Now, if it had been a Marine, that has said 300 more, you know, but we're talking Air Force here, okay? So 20 more steps, 20 more steps. And so, well, I lost a bunch of you right there. Amen. So, you know what I said? All right, I'm just going to take 20 more steps. Lord, give me the strength for 20 more steps. And you know what I did? I walked down it 20 more steps carefully. I had to be careful every step, literally. That much weight pushing, and I'd stop and I'd breathe. And I'd say, thank you. Lord, I need enough strength to take 20 more steps. And I took 20 more steps. And I stopped and I breathed. And I said, Lord, thank you. Now, by the way, folks, listen to me. That's how you're going to get through some days. I'm just telling you. Sometimes God doesn't give strength by the day. Sometimes God gives strength by the hour. Come on, you've been there? I mean, I've had, you know, forget this. How am I going to make it through the day? How about this question? Lord, how am I going to make it through the next hour? And God says, just pray, trust in me, take 20 more steps, stop, rest, and we'll talk again. And I'll give you a look. Listen, that I'm talking about a God who is not, listen, he is not going to fail you. Now listen, I'll fail him and you'll fail him, but he will not fail you. Amen. And you know what? He loves to come down and give strength to his children. Now sometimes we need physical strength. Sometimes we need spiritual strength. You're going to have all kinds of days in your lifetime. That's why in Ephesians, God says to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now notice what else it says. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. Look right up here, Christians. Not only are you going to need physical strength in your life, you're sometimes going to need spiritual strength. Listen, young people, there's evil days that the devil has planned for your future. There's going to be days where, I mean, the devil gets an entire band of demons, and I mean, he has a council meeting, and he says, listen, on this particular day, we're going to throw everything we've got at that Christian young man and see if we can destroy his life. That's an evil day. I watch young people go through periods and days of satanic attack. Come on, young people, if you'll be honest, you're already thinking back and say, preacher, I mean, you know, I read my Bible, prayed, walked out in the world, had no intention of thinking anything wrong or doing anything wrong. And I mean, I was for an entire day, it seemed like I was bombarded. Yeah, you know what that is? That's the devil trying to destroy your life.
That's right.
Coming after you. I've pastored this church now for 11 years. I've been here for 22 years, and you know what? 22 years I've watched different families in our church go through concentrated attacks of the devil. And you know, sometimes that evil day is not just a 24-hour period. That represents sometimes a weeks or months where it just seems like the devil hits you and he 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 hits you. And you know what I've learned to do? By the way, I've watched your family go through it. You've watched me and my family go through it. The pulpit and the pew's no different here. From time to time, you know what? The devil's just going to say, we're going to take out this family. We're going to throw everything we've got at them. And you know what's been a comfort? You know why it's important to have a church family? Because when those things are going on, you've got other families in this church that have enough spiritual sensitivity to say, we need to surround this family with prayer. We need to, listen, shame on you. And I don't think we got a problem here with this, but shame on you. If you're the type of Christian, then when a family's going through a spiritual attack, you start clucking your tongue and pointing your finger and joining the devil and making accusations. Shame on you. I mean it. That's wicked. That's not what we're supposed to do for each other. And I watch different families in the church go through things. And I pray for all of you. I mean, I pray for our church family, all of you. But there are times when I spend extra prayer because I know the devil's going hard after this family or that family. And folks, you've watched it in me and Cheryl's life. We've watched it in your life. Thank God that we love each other and support each other and pray for each other. That's what we're supposed to do here. And you know what? You say, preacher, we're going through one of those times where it just seems like, man, I can't catch a breath. I can't catch a break. And it's just like here, every time we just about get up, we get knocked. Preacher, what in the world? Listen to me. You know what? You go to God. And he has spiritual strength. Preacher, I don't know how we're going to get through today. I'll tell you how you're going to get through today. He's going to give you the spiritual strength day by day, and if necessary, hour by hour, and if necessary, minute by minute. And you'll put one foot in front of the other when you think you can't go, and you know what? You're going to be fine, and God's, listen to me, preacher, it's midnight, I know, but the sun's going to rise again. Preacher, I just feel like that our whole, I mean, God, I can't even find God. I know, but he's there. He's there. Preacher, I'm praying, it just seems like, I know, but he hears you. It's just when you're going through these times, sometimes it seems like you're all alone. You're not all alone. Amen. You got a heavenly Father that loves you and cares about you. And by the way, you got a church family that loves you too and prays for you. Just keep going. Don't give up. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Don't give up. Day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. You know, there's going to be times when you need some emotional strength. I'm not going to take the time to go there, but I'm going to encourage you to read John chapter number 11. There were two sisters that were going through they were going through a time. And they lost their brother. And I mean, everywhere you read about these sisters in the Bible, it was always Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And I just have this feeling that they were just a really tight-knit, unusually tight-knit situation. And you know what? I'm sure being sisters and brothers, they... Come on, we're sisters and brothers, and I'm sure that they gave each other a hard time, but you know what? Most people have this idea when it comes to family. You know what? We can give each other a hard time, but if somebody else tries to give one of us a hard time, you better watch out, you know? And I kind of like that. I think that's kind of the way family ought to be. So they give each other a hard time, but you know what? By the way, that's a good mentality for a church family too, all right? Amen. But here we are, and all of a sudden, Lazarus is sick, and they call for Jesus, and he lingers, and he doesn't come, and where are you? And he dies, and then Jesus shows up 3 days too late, and Martha comes out. She's just broken. Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother had not died. And here comes Mary, Lord, if that had been here, my brother would not have. And you know, the Bible says that they wept, and Jesus went to the tomb, and Jesus wept. And you know what, folks, come on, there's going to be times when we go through loss. I mean, folks, part of life is death. Okay, it's just part of it. It's part of the human experience. If the natural course of life takes place, you know what? Every one of you children, one of these days, stand beside the casket of your mom or dad. Many of you have already stood beside the casket of maybe a grandma and a grandpa. That's just a natural thing. Listen, don't get mad at God during times like that. But preacher, it hurts, and I don't know how am I gonna make it, and what am I gonna do? And you know what you're gonna do? Let me tell you what you're gonna do. You're gonna go to the Lord. And you're gonna say, Lord, I can't make it through this next day. And he's like, yes, you can. But Lord, I don't have the strength. And he's gonna say, I do. Amen. I mean, most of you are here. A lot of you were here when my dad, just as Brother Chad Gordon teaches our adult class now, our auditorium class, my dad for years after he became Pastor Emeritus, for years he taught the adult class, and he came to the pulpit and he'd teach the class. And just like we did at the beginning of this year, he taught it in January 4 years ago. He taught it in January. And then February we had Missions Emphasis Month, and I didn't teach the young adults, and he didn't teach the auditorium class, and we had missionaries. And then he came back in March, and he began to teach. And right away, I walk out of the door of my young adult class, and my brother David's waiting there, and he's like, hey, can I walk with you to the office? And I said, sure. And he says, you need to listen to the tape. Dad was teaching. Something's wrong. And I said, David, you know, I just tell you, as a preacher, sometimes we just are tired, you know, he's probably just having a bad day. Honestly, I didn't put much credence. I said, you know, sometimes just next Sunday, I walk on my class, David's standing there again. He says, we need to go to your office. And he said, no, you need to listen to the tape. And so I listened to the last two Sunday school lessons, and I knew something was wrong. And I went to see Dad, and Dad said, I went down here where Dad and Mom was living at the time, in front of where David's place was, and I walk in. Now, you guys got to understand. And most of you, okay, everybody that knows Robert Ross is going to understand what I'm about to tell you, okay? Now, you put yourself in my position. I got to go down there and tell him that there's something wrong with him, and he needs to go to the doctor. It's like the people that used to call the church, and they'd say, hey, I want your dad to come preach for me, and he won't. Would you go talk to him? I think you don't understand me and my father's relationship, okay? If he doesn't want to do something, Jerry Ross telling him he should is not going to change his mind, you know. But I've got to go down there, and I sit in the living room, and I'm like, Dad, I need you to do me a favor. And he said, what? And I said, sure, if I can. And I said, I need you to go see the doctor. He said, yeah, I am. In May, I've got an appointment. And okay, we're March. I said, Dad, I need you to go see the doctor this week. And Mom had already known. She knew something was wrong. She had already made an appointment. She just didn't tell him. And so I said, we got an appointment made. And, well, Jerry, I really do think I'm all right. I said, Mom, Dad, you're probably just fine. Sometimes medicines interact, and something's not right. Dad, just please, for me, you're probably fine, just for us. And my dad was diagnosed. The doctor, as soon as he talked to him, knew something was wrong. And he had the CAT scan, the MRI, and there he had a tumor right in the middle of his brain, inoperable tumor about that big right in the middle of his brain. And by the way, I think from the time we found that out to the time the Lord took him to heaven was about 6 weeks or something like that. I say that and some people's like, oh boy, that was fast. And can I say this? That was the grace of God. It really was. One of the most miraculous 6 weeks I've ever seen. He'd go to the doctor, and the doctor said, how are you managing the headaches? And he'd look at the doctor and say, I don't have headaches. Now, you think about that, folks. You think about that. The doctor says, how regular and how intense are the seizures? He said, I've never had a seizure. The doctor says, you can't not have a seizure. You have to have headaches. He says, I've never had either one. My dad never had a seizure until the day before he passed away. Prior to it, and from that point on, he kind of went into a coma-like thing, and then eventually into heaven, having never had a headache and one seizure. I mean, that's just the grace of God. By the way, all of us are going to face that day, and all of us fear it too. It's like somebody said, you know what? I don't. It's not that I fear heaven. I long for heaven. I just fear the process of getting there. Amen. You know. So, but God will be there. And by the way, on your day of death, don't you think that God might still have enough strength to give you the strength you need on that day like he has every other day of your life? I tell the story of that, the miracle of my dad's passing. The beginning of that year in January, I stood before the church before we knew any of this was going to happen. I said, folks, I'm not a guy that sets a lot of numerical goals. I just don't. But I knew God was pushing me and pressing me on this matter. And I said, folks, you know I don't usually do this, but I said, our church has never had 500. And on May 1st, of this year, you know what I want? I want God to give us 500. And so we started setting goals and talking about it, praying about it, having prayer meetings and all that. And that's May 1st. And then the 1st of March, we found out my dad's got an inoperable brain tumor. And for all of March and a good part of April, you know what? Our focus and energies, and honestly, it wasn't just our family. Our entire church went through this together. That was their preacher. And you know what? We're distracted and we're concentrating on that. And a lot of the plans and things that we were going to do, you know, we about half did. And you know, then dad passes away. The Sunday that we're supposed to have 500, dad passes away on that Tuesday. We have the funeral of the viewing on Thursday. We have the funeral on Friday. And we're supposed to have 501. Remember that? Be one of five. What was that? Be one of 501. Be one of 501 on 501. Boy, that was dumb. Anyway, there you go. All right, had the card, and so everybody's, you know, and now you know the whole church. We've gone through this. We got Thursday. I'm a mess. Everybody's a mess. Friday, we're just getting through it. Saturday, I'm lost. You know how it is? If you lost someone, you know what I'm talking about. You slip into survival mode. You know what you're doing? You are getting through 1 hour of a day at a time. I mean, it's the way it is. God allowed it to be that way because you know what that does? That makes you run to him. And that makes you find him in a way you've never found him before. I mean, folks, listen to me. The hardest times in your life, when you get to heaven, you're going to find out were the best times of your life. Amen. Because it made you find God in a way you've never found him before. And I couldn't sleep Saturday night. I tried to go to sleep, told Cheryl, I can't sleep. I came over. I hadn't prepared Sunday morning's message. I'm supposed to be having this big day. I don't even know what I'm going to preach. I come over here and I start working on a sermon, and then I'm distracted and I can't think. And then I think, you know what? I don't even know if we're ready. And by the way, I'm not mad at the person who'd done this, but I went down to check on some things, and we had bought fish because we were going to have a fish fry. And we'd left all the boxes out because we bought them. They were frozen and they had to thaw. And when I went down there about 3 o'clock in the morning just to see if they were thawed, some good Samaritans, well-meaning person, saw that someone had left these frozen things out and put them all in the freezer. So you know what I'm doing at 3 o'clock in the morning? I am opening boxes of fish. I've got like 6 or 8 8-foot tables down there, and I'm taking fish and individually and laying them out on tables. I've got the heat turned up downstairs, trying to thaw out fish so that they'll be thawed. And I'm like walking around, and I'm like, this is going to be the biggest disaster in the history of mankind. I mean, we're doomed. You know, I'm like, Lord, and this is how much faith I had, okay? I came back up here, you know, after I got all the little fish, you know. I just knelt down, and I'm like, Lord, I know I should be praying for 501. Lord, I'm just praying that we have enough people come that our folks aren't discouraged. That's what I prayed. I said, Lord, I don't even need 501. Just, I don't want our people discouraged. They've gone through a tough week. Just let us have enough so that they can see your hand. And that was the great faith of Pastor Jerry Ross at that point. And I stayed here. Finally went home, changed clothes, came back, never slept. And those of you that were here, how many were here on that Sunday? Something happened that there's no, listen, nobody in this room that was here has any better explanation for it than I do. All, I don't know why, but people start coming. I don't know why, but the parking lot filled up. And then they parked all the way around. Then they parked over in the yard, and they kept coming, and they kept coming. And at the end of the day, somebody hands me a piece of paper and said, "Preachers, we had 665 people here." You know what happened on that May 1st? God said, "I got this strength I've been saving up for you. Because I want you to understand where the strength comes from. I mean, all this plan that I had and all this that we were going to do to produce this, we didn't do, and yet God said, here." And you know what, folks? I don't know what's ahead for you, and I don't know what's ahead for me the rest of this year. I promise you this, probably most of us in this room going to have a day or two where we get up and say, "God, I don't know how I can make it through today." But you know what? Can I say this? I do know how to make it through those days. I go to the Lord and I say, "Lord, I got this promise, this blessing for your children, where you said that as my days are, so shall my strength be. And Lord, this is a tough one. So I need it." And you know what? I've never had the Lord fail in that moment to help give me what I need to get through the next day. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. I don't know what you are going through, and I don't know what's going on in your individual life. A lot of folks have things that are going on, and it's private and personal, and that's how it should be. Others have things going on that they feel like they can share. Maybe at some measure they can share, and that's fine too. You say, "Preacher, I'm not in a crisis situation," but maybe you know of somebody else that is. Sometimes you don't come and pray for strength for yourself. You come and pray for strength for somebody else. I don't know what it is that God's done in your heart this morning, but let him help you. Let him strengthen you. Heavenly Father, please, Lord, strength for today. That's what we ask. We're going to leave tomorrow in your hands, trusting that, Lord, when we get there, the strength for that day will be there also. I pray, Lord, if there's someone here that's trying to live this life without being saved, oh, Lord, I pray, dear God, we've got men standing at the front. Lord, I pray that they'll come forward, get their attention, just say, "I need to be saved. I'm tired of trying to live my life by myself in my own strength. I need a Heavenly Father. I need a Savior. I need to be a Christian." I pray, Lord, there's someone here that's not saved, they'll be saved today.